Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, a marathon that makes a difference in Guatemala.
It was pretty epic because we actually, it was in one of the volcanoes. There's a volcano called Pacaya, and Pacaya is about 2,500 meters elevation. And it was a super cool course because what we got to do is the first 21K was actually to run to the summit, and we do that twice, and then the other half marathon, the next 21 kilometers is kind of a downhill through the lava fields, and then the last 10K is an 1,800 meter ascent back to the main area.
Can some foods make you faster?
We get into foods that, like, for example, beets, which are a food that could potentially improve performance immediately. So even eating beets and then going for a run a couple of hours later, there's some evidence to say that people, especially sort of the moderately trained runner, can have a faster, better run.
And running farther and farther for an important cause.
I guess it was meant to be. At the time, I met an amazing group of runners who were training to run 100K in support of the End Kids Cancer campaign. I had not heard of anyone running such a crazy distance at all.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
Welcome to spring. We have made it through winter, which is always that's always a good thing when you're a runner. Winters are tough.
Yeah, but we do it, you know. And
it puts
hair on your chest, so to speak.
And look, I have respect for you because you know you chose this country. This is not your home and native land. This is a place you've chosen to live and where you have flourished and you're raising a family and all of that. But you weren't prepared for this based on your childhood the way I was.
Well, I thought you were going to say you had respect for me because you've seen my chest and my back before. But okay, no, we're moving on from that. Yeah, no, I didn't. I chose, or I half chose. I mean, my wife's Canadian, so I'm not sure it was really my choice. But you know, there's nothing like making it through those winters and seeing the other side and having the making it to spring, and you just know, like, all that great running is about to come. So
yeah.
We did it. Congratulations to you, sir. I know you ran a marathon in the winter, and I know you have another one coming up, and it's just congrats to everybody for sticking it through.
Yeah, there are so many people who have had, have been out there grinding it out and putting in the miles, and we respect all of that and admire that. And, you know, I took a bit of a different approach this winter, doing some of my runs on a treadmill, which is not something I'd done a lot of in the past. But this year I took the plunge and bought a treadmill, and that helped me get through winter. But I am excited about the longer days and the more daylight and the brighter sunshine and the warmer temperatures, and just bring it on. You know, I'm ready to see. There's a path I run on near my house by the Ottawa River, and, you know, it gets covered in snow during the winter, so you don't run on it in the winter, and then the snow melts and you get to run on it again. And I was saying to my wife the other day, it's almost like I've forgotten what it's like to run down there because it's been so long, right? It's like you live two lives in this country. You live your summer life where you're running by the river and you're barbecuing and you're sitting outside to eat supper. And then you live your winter life where you're clustered and sequestered and hiding from the cold. And when you're in one world, you forget the other world even exists.
Yeah, and I much prefer the world that we're going to get
exactly
than the one that we're leaving behind.
I like the direction we're going in right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Better days ahead, right?
I mean, these tights, just running in tights, and I get it, and I feel it, and it feels good on my legs. Like, sometimes it feels when I'm running a lot, it almost feels like, you know, they keep my legs. Sometimes it feels like they keep my leg together.
Yeah.
I don't know, like that compression.
Yeah, it's like support.
It's great, but, oh, man, just they always say the whole thing about running is, like, all you need. Yeah, they say all you need to run is a pair of sneakers. But, I mean, in the winter, I've got 38 pieces of gear on.
Yeah, exactly.
And the shoulders up.
Yeah. And, you know, my friend will give me a call and say, hey, do you want to go for a run? And I think, okay, I can leave in 5 minutes. But, of course, it takes me 10 minutes to get all the clothes on before I go out the door.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, we've made it. So that's good news. And hats off to everybody who toughed it out through the winter and is getting ready for big events like around the bay and Ottawa Race Weekend and the Mississauga Marathon and the Toronto Marathon, Boston, of course. So lots ahead. It's going to be a really good spring, I can tell.
Yes, sir. Well, from your mouth to God's ears, I appreciate it, and I look forward to running many more miles with you, my friend.
Yeah, yeah, we've got good plans this year, and we've got a great show coming up. We're going to talk to Jennifer Saigo, who is an expert on nutrition, who did a little bit of a project with iRun, where she looked at the food journal of a particular runner and gave her some advice on that, and it was really helpful.
Yeah, she's very cool, too. I mean, you know, she didn't even blink her eyes. Our runner who did that was very honest, and she said, you know, she had gin and tonic a couple of nights a week, and Jennifer, you know, you can work that into your diet. She tries to be realistic. She spends a lot of her time with the Toronto Maple Leafs in the NHL, so she sees she's hard to shock.
Yeah. Well, we won't hold that against her, the fact that she works with the Maple Leafs, speaking as a resident of Ottawa here. We're also going to talk to a woman who is planning at the end of June to run from Montreal to Ottawa, a distance of about 200 kilometers. Very, very inspiring story. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to a guy who is just back from running a marathon in Guatemala, and not just running a marathon there, but also making a big difference in that world. And so many examples of that. We see this all the time of people who are turning their running into so much more than that, and spreading joy and love and making a difference and building homes and schools and just doing amazing things. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, it reminds me of your friend Ray Zahab.
Yeah, absolutely. Our mutual friend, yeah. Good stuff. All right, Ben, enjoy the warmer weather and the brighter sunshine of spring, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, my friend.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's general manager and editor. Coming up next, we are going to talk to Ottawa runner Joe Rios, who is just back from running a marathon and making a huge difference in Guatemala. We'll be right back. Canada's longest-running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Our first guest this week just ran a marathon in Guatemala and used it as an opportunity to make a big difference there. Joe Rios, welcome to iRun Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the invitation.
And I guess the last time we connected, you were on a quest to run marathons on all seven continents, and you've completed that now, right?
That's right. I finished that big goal back in 2015, and the last time we spoke, I believe I had completed the first four, and I still had Antarctica, Africa, and Asia to complete. So did those three marathons within, I guess, a year and a half. I accelerated the goal because originally, I think when we spoke, I was going to take my time, but got a little anxious and decided to complete all three a little bit sooner. So ended up finishing the last one in Africa, which was the Big Five Marathon, which is the one that's up in a little bit north of Johannesburg, and it's in a private game reserve where you actually run in a live kind of safari-style marathon.
Wow.
And with that, yeah, it's pretty, give you a little motivation to run faster. and with that said, I completed my goal because if you recall, I was running each continent for a different cause, right? So whether it be for Team Diabetes, where I started my journey, I ended up actually running for a few different causes locally. And one of them was actually for mental health. And that seventh continent was for a small charity called Don't You Dare Quit, which is based in a small town in, I think it's in Almont, Ontario, right? So, and we did that in 2015 and ended up creating some awareness around that. And the total impact was that I had raised almost $55,000 for charities completing that seventh marathon. Yeah.
Congratulations. So, good for you. And what did that feel like to get that done, to run a marathon on all seven continents?
Well, you know, like from my story back then, like, you know, it was couch potato kind of deal, not really into running. and having crossed that finish line in the, on the seventh continent, it's quite emotional. You know, you don't really know what you're going to feel during that course. And that course is actually a really challenging one because I didn't realize that in Africa they didn't serve Gatorade. They were actually just serving Coca-Cola, which actually helps a lot in terms of giving energy. But I got really dehydrated the last 10 kilometers. And so it was a really challenging last 10K. Almost just had to walk most of it. But in my head, I was thinking to myself, this is a bigger cause why I'm doing this. And it really pushed me through. But having completed that really kind of, you know, showcased a lot in terms of, you know, what greatness for oneself could be, right, in terms of exceeding your expectations and doing it faster. Like I had planned to do it in 10 years, but with all the community support and, you know, the energy you get from each race is different. It really, you know, compiles a really awesome experience. And, you know, three years later after that completion, I'm still, like, empowered and inspired to continue doing things. It just doesn't stop there, right? So
yeah, exactly.
That's the end of the goal, but it just continues, right, because... but knowing that, though, after I did complete those seven continents, I didn't start right away. Like, I took time to kind of celebrate that success because a lot of people were asking me, so what's next? Are you going to run it again? Are you going to run the seven continents? Are you going to raise charity, run for charities again? And, you know, actually, I took time to pause a little bit and understand what I could do with that, right, and actually use and kind of do some introspection to not really rush and do the next thing so I can have some time for myself. So I didn't really, like, I still did marathons, but I didn't kind of do any big goals yet. And I took some time, almost a year off, just to kind of put that all together.
But now you've taken it to another level, and you are just back from Guatemala, where you led a group of runners to go and run in an event there. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so shortly after, it's funny how you meet new people, right? So actually, I was connected to... my friend now, his name is Nick Kershaw, and he's based in the UK, and I was introduced to him by one of my fellow friends that I had met in Antarctica that I had needed to connect with him. And he was starting a new foundation called the Impact Marathon Series. So his vision was really to create these marathons in these really local communities around the world so that he can, you know, empower change and do a community project while combining the passion of running. So what happened is that 2016, he started the first ever kind of Nepal marathon, and it was actually in a small village called Kakani, which is just 20K outside of Kathmandu. And he had partnered with a local village, and how it works is super cool because he works with the local community to try to understand what their needs are. And I thought, that's fantastic. It's not just really about having kind of like a volunteerism where people come and kind of do a show and tell. It's really kind of getting down and dirty and using the volunteers to empower the community. So they come up with proposals that in the end, what they did is they actually leveraged the runners, which we were a group of 85, to build a 5K water pipeline in that local community. The problem in that local community is that they would actually have to walk almost an hour just to get a jug of water and sometimes pay for it and then come back. So it wasn't really sustainable. And the power of actually, you know, the time to do that, to build it for the local community wouldn't suffice. So we thought, well, let's combine the power of running with this local community and let's try it out. And it was the first time he ever did something like this, and it ended up being a success. We completed it in the two-day period, the 5K water pipeline. Imagine building in the Himalayas. It's not really, we're not using fancy machines. We're using the local community, like village gardening tools, if you want to say them. And it was pretty epic that we were able to complete that 5K water pipeline. And in the end, the locals actually combined, came out to cheer us on and run in their village. So it was never done before, and we completed it. So that totally inspired me, and I was like, I really like this organization.
Yeah, so that sounds very empowering and very enriching. I mean, you're to have that experience of running with them and making a difference in their community.
Absolutely. And when coming back from the trip, like, all I got was, this is so cool. I wish I could do this. And I thought to myself, you know what? I think this is the next big thing. After the seven continents, this is it. Why don't I kind of shift my focus in terms of, you know, my seven continents, it was all about promoting a personal healthy lifestyle. But let's turn that into more a holistic view of well-being and how you can connect volunteering with running. And even running, like, I wanted to get it all inclusive. I didn't want people to think that they had to be a professional runner. So I thought to myself, you know, my next big goal is I'm gonna hopefully inspire others to join me and kind of take the risk to see how it feels. And that's really where the kind of the next marathon place, and I spent almost about 9 months trying to plan how it would be if I were to actually bring a Team Canada, if you want to call it Team Canada, to the next one. And I started by just actually talking to a few of my fellow colleagues, and they said, why don't you just do a lunch and learn and share your experience? And that's where it started. And, you know, some people came just for the free food, and in the end, you know what they're signing up for. And yeah, it ended up turning out that I brought a team of 13 people with me, and 11 of them being my colleagues at EDC, at Export Development Canada, which many of them were running their first marathon and first half.
Wow.
So you can imagine the risk that they're taking, and they're all different walks of life, from, you know, kind of just millennials to moms that have never actually taken time away from home to invest this 1 week because they were so touched by the cause that they were going to do in this country.
All right. So tell me about the whole experience. You were just there. Obviously, it's about more than running, but give us a sense of what you did.
Well, it was honestly probably the most impactful one personally. And I think the whole team is vibrating high as we're like seeing each other. And it was almost a big reality check. And I'm going to share this experience because I think it showcases a lot in terms of it. So the program set out where we spend the first day kind of meeting the different communities that we fundraise for. So the cause that we were supporting, there were two. There was one on reduced inequalities, and the other one was on quality education. So for the reduced inequalities, we're basically visiting communities and how they live. So the first kind of part of the morning was visiting local communities without the funding and seeing how they do their day-to-day, like simple things like washing laundry or cooking. And you see the lifestyle they live, like the cooking facilities, basically all the smoke's coming in, and it's equivalent to these young girls cooking and like smoking 3 packs a day, right? So it's not obviously sustainable and has so many long-term negative effects. And then the afternoon is actually visiting the communities where we rebuild them, based on the funding that we do, and we see the impact that happens, right? So it's really eye-opening kind of to see the past state to the future state and being able to see what we've done in such a short time, right? So that was impactful. But the real heart of the week is about the project building. So you see in Guatemala, the problem is day in and day out, youth are facing violence, poverty, climate changes, and they have no hope. Everything seems to be corrupt. And so the local organization we worked with there was called Ceres. And they had a dream to inspire community leaders, and they wanted to drive positive change. So they had a kind of 5-year plan, and the project was around actually building a youth community leadership center in Guatemala to be able to start with the youth to empower them. So our team, our purpose was that we were there to kind of start the future site of the campus by planting trees and preparing the land for construction. So we were planting bamboo trees, and which I didn't know, but bamboo trees can grow really rapidly. So once they're in state, they can grow at almost a meter a month. So the plan was to plant all these bamboo trees and then actually use them in the construction of the center in the years to come, so the year following. And this is where the kind of reality hit. And minutes after our bus left, the remaining team of locals that were actually on the site, they were victims of an armed attack, and our project was actually canceled for the second day. And so this is really where I'm kind of talking about, like, this is the everyday reality for 17 million Guatemalans, and it's considered the fifth most violent country. But I think that's really what kind of put the change in terms of everybody that was, because how it's positioned is then we do the run, right? And so when you kind of experience that unexpected kind of happening, you know, I was talking a little bit about before how, you know, we go and we want to do kind of show and tell, like we're volunteering, but we actually got to experience that. It made the run so much more powerful and kind of a motivation catalyst to be able to push ourselves so much more. And I'm telling you, now we get to the run part, like the run was, it's probably the hardest run I did ever today. And we actually had some runners there that were running sub, like almost 2-hour 45 road marathons, and they finished almost in 4 hours and 45 minutes, just to give you context in terms of how challenging it was. So the run, can I talk about the run?
Yeah. Tell me all about the run.
It was pretty epic because it was in one of the volcanoes. There's a volcano called Pacaya, and Pacaya is about 2,500 meters elevation. And it was a super cool course because what we got to do is the first 21K was actually to run to the summit, and we do that loop twice, and then the other half marathon, the next 21 kilometers, is kind of a downhill through the lava field, and then the last 10K is an 1,800-meter ascent back to the main area. So what's really challenging about it is that the first loop there, coming to the summit, like most of the tourists that do that use horses to climb up, right? So you're actually kind of challenged because you're kind of maneuvering through all these people on horses, and you wish you were on a horse because it is so high in terms of elevation. And the fact of the matter is, you have to do it twice. But I've never really run on a volcano, and I didn't know how hot lava fields were, and it's pretty intense in terms of the actual heat, because what happens, it feels kind of like in the summers when you go behind like an OC transfer bus and feel the heat from the radiator. Well, it feels like that constantly, and not to mention the at 1800 meter elevation of climbing on unstable rocks. And it was really a pretty emotional marathon, because it's the first time in my life where actually at the 26-28K mark I'm like, I'm done, and I'm going to stop right here. And it's funny how, again, the power of the community and the running, and it was actually the people from my team, because some were doing half marathons, were convincing me just walk to the next station, you know. And it ended up taking, the last person took 10 hours and 30 minutes to complete it. So you can imagine it was pretty, pretty enduring.
Yeah. But what an experience.
A couple days back, yeah. And I think it actually summarizes the whole week, because it was unexpected, right? We didn't know what to do, but it's only been a few days since we've been back, and everybody's digesting it. And some people are kind of like really, really like empowered to do some good things now. And what we do, we don't know yet. We're going to kind of digest this and meet as a group, as Team Canada. But we do know that it definitely is something that we want to share with our local community here in Ottawa, because we know that, some people didn't really set expectations, but it definitely was blown away in terms of what one person can do. And yeah, Everybody went there for a different reason, right?
So. Yeah. Well, Joe, it's incredible what you've done. And people can read more about it, of course, at your blog. And mm-hmm. I really appreciate you joining us on the show. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much, Mark. It was great talking to you.
That's Ottawa runner Joe Rios. Coming up next, an expert on nutrition talks about how to track your food and get faster. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back. As Ben and I were talking about earlier, we asked Jennifer Saigo, who is a registered dietitian and sports nutritionist, as well as an author. She works with the Toronto Maple Leafs and other clients. We asked her to work with one of our runners, Jenny Pham, and have her do a food journal and keep track of what she was eating, and then share some advice for her on how she could improve what she was doing in order to support her running. And Jennifer's going to walk us through some of that now on iRun Radio. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, I know you've done a lot of presentations to runners, and of course you get a lot of questions from runners about what they should do. Before we talk about Jenny's food journal and what you recommended to her, can you give us some examples of what runners ask you and how you tend to respond?
Just more things like, oh, I find I get really hungry in the afternoon, or geez, I crave a lot of sugar. Is that a bad thing? You know, really classic nutrition questions. But for the majority of people, it's all about what you do day to day and how you can adopt healthy habits. Wake up feeling good so you can go out for your morning run and not skip out on it because you're feeling tired and lousy.
Yeah, very interesting. I know a lot of runners struggle with this. Many of them are trying to lose weight, or at least not gain weight. But at the same time, you have to give yourself enough energy to be able to run, don't you?
You want to make sure you're well-fueled so that you have the energy and motivation, and also so that whatever you've done digestively at your last meal, you're in a good situation where you can go out and run and not, like I said, the opposite, feeling just too empty and no energy.
So I know you advocate a couple of things. First of all, you talk about having a regular pattern of eating through the day so you never get too hungry. So you suggest having snacks in between meals, mid-afternoon, mid-morning as well. But obviously those have to be the right kinds of snacks. And I know you also believe in having people write down what they're eating.
Oh, gosh, yes. And you don't have to do it with any particular intention. We do know that people who start recording their eating tend to lose weight, interestingly, even if that's not their goal. And that's very likely because it makes people more aware of what they're putting into their mouths. And maybe they just don't want to then, you know, grab that one little nibble of that cookie because they know they'll have to write it down. So if weight loss is your goal, then writing down what you're eating is definitely a plus, even if you don't measure portions, you know, even if you're not hyper specific about it, even if it's on a napkin, just writing it down, it seems to create an intention in your mind that leads to other positive behaviors. So there's benefits just from the act of writing it down. On top of that, it can help you to start to see patterns and habits that you may have. Sometimes we don't even realize that we have until we start writing it down. So that could be anything from, you know, geez, that afternoon snack tends to be a sweet, and I tend to wait until I'm starving. And so then when we're starving, we're not going to make as good a choice. So, okay, what I should maybe do is move that snack half an hour earlier and make it more balanced by, say, for example, putting some protein in it, which will allow you to feel more full. Protein's a filling nutrient.
All right. So as I mentioned, we asked a runner, Jenny Pham, to write down what she was eating. She very willingly and very honestly went along with this. She kept track of everything for a week. And tell us what you noticed about her food journal.
Lots of interesting things. You know, again, some of that consistency around meal and snack timing wasn't always there. One of the big things we noticed was there was a day where I think she ate...
Oh, right. I remember this from the magazine. This is when she said that she ate a box of shortbread cookies in the middle of the day. And I thought she was being really honest there.
Yes. And she was feeling guilty about it, you know, writing these comments. Oh, you know, why did I do that? But when we looked back, she'd skipped breakfast that day. So, and we know that there's a natural correlation between breakfast skipping and overeating later in the day. So, you know, we tend to associate the emotion with sometimes guilt or, you know, feeling like it was a moment of weakness, when in fact the seeds of that were sown sometimes hours, even 6-8 hours earlier by what we did at the previous meals. And if we're on a blood sugar roller coaster, we're almost doomed to make poor choices. Really hard not to. So we noticed that. We noticed that alcohol was created sometimes more than we'd want if for someone who was trying to lose weight. And that her breakfast was a bit inconsistent. And going back to my point I made already, we know protein is really filling and it allows people to have a steady appetite through the day, not big peaks and valleys. And her breakfast was often just, say, a piece of fruit or a granola bar, or something very more of a carb-based breakfast. And while fruit's healthy on its own without a protein to complement it, it can leave you feeling hungry pretty quickly. So we gave her some suggestions on fixing that, and hopefully she'll be able to use them.
Right on. And give me an example of what would be a good breakfast, including some protein.
Sure, yeah. So classic protein foods, you know, the carb foods, which are important for running and do give us energy, would be those whole grain-based foods like oatmeal or whole grain cereal, fruits, and then veggies, which we would often do more at lunch and dinner, but some people do them at breakfast. Again, they're all healthy. They just tend to be quick fuel. So protein foods that can complement those carbs would be things like putting milk in the oatmeal or milk in the cereal, or using Greek yogurt, which is a great choice, mixing that up with some granola. It's really high in protein. Some people like cottage cheese. If you do, that's an amazing protein source. You could put in some blueberries or a bit of crunch, like a granola with that. Eggs are one I use a lot with the athletes I work with. I often say that eggs with oatmeal is the breakfast champions. And then you can also go plant-based, and you can use things like peanut butter or almond butter, nuts or seeds. So even if you're having, again, like an oatmeal breakfast, think about throwing in some slivered almonds or some pumpkin seeds or a spoonful of peanut butter so that you feel more satisfied. You might notice that all of a sudden you're not hungry an hour and a half later. You can last a little longer and you don't feel that blood sugar spike and crash.
So what you're saying, I think, is that you want to improve your overall health and habits. You want to improve your energy level, and that's going to help you become a better runner. It's not necessarily a direct link that if you're going to eat this food, you're going to run faster. It's about your overall health, right?
Well, and that's, I would say, the case 80 to 90% of the time. Now, you can get fancier when you are ready and you've adopted some good baseline habits. We can start to go deeper. You get into foods that, like, for example, beets, which are a food that could potentially improve performance immediately. So even eating beets and then going for a run a couple of hours later, there's some evidence to say that people, especially sort of the moderately trained runner, can have a faster, better run.
Wow.
From beets. Well, specifically foods that are high in what are called nitrates.
Okay.
Other examples of nitrate-rich foods would be things like spinach, celery. Rhubarb seems a bit random, but it is, and arugula, as well as beets, are really rich sources of nitrates. And there's, like I said, a couple of good studies that say that runners improve their speed after consuming those sorts of, because it relaxes, basically, it's what we call a vasodilator, which means it allows blood flow more efficiently to your muscles, your working muscles, for that run a couple of hours after you eat them. So,
wow, very cool.
So nutrition can affect you in the long run, but also immediately too.
All right. Well, Jen, that is great advice. Very interesting perspective. It was great to have your insights in iRun Magazine, and wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That is Jennifer Saigo, who is a registered dietitian, sports nutritionist, and author. And you can read what she prescribed to Jenny Pham, the runner who kept the food journal, at irun.ca. Coming up next, we're going to talk to someone who's getting ready to run from Montreal to Ottawa, a distance of 200 kilometers. We'll be right back. Canada's longest running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. Gesine Freund is going to run from Montreal to Ottawa in late June. That is a distance of about 200 kilometers, and she's doing it to raise money to fight childhood cancer. Gesine, welcome to iRun Radio. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Before we talk about this incredible run that you're going to embark on at the end of June, tell me how you got into running and how you ended up running these long distances like this.
That's a really great question. I was inspired by a really great friend, and about 10 years ago started training for my first 10K. It's actually for the Ottawa race weekend in May, and then took me a while, ran the half marathon and half marathons, a couple of them, and finally had the courage to train for a full marathon a couple of years later, actually. And, you know, as life goes, and actually, I guess it was meant to be at the time, I met an amazing group of runners who were training to run 100K in support of the End Kids Cancer campaign. At that time, honestly, I had not heard of anyone running such a crazy distance at all.
Now, let's go back to the friend who inspired you to start running in the first place. Tell us that story.
She's a runner, avid runner, and she told me all about her half marathon and full marathon and how she is training. And I didn't think of myself of being unfit, but I just thought that would be a good thing to get into to keep fit, maybe. And as a single mom, there's not much time, so that I just thought gives me, you know, you have flexibility. You can, as I later realize, you can really run anywhere and anytime if you decide to do so. So
yeah,
turned out okay, and 10 years later I'm still at it.
Yeah, and that launched you in some fascinating and inspiring directions, obviously. So then you hear about this 100K race, and so obviously you decided to take that on.
Yes, I decided at that time, although I was just starting out to run for or to train for a full marathon, it's quite a jump from a half to a full, doubling the distance. But I decided they inspired me to start training for 100K. So I will have to say that at about that time, a friend's son was battling through cancer at 4 years old. And that had obviously left a big dent in my heart as well. It touched me a lot. So the idea of running and using that as a platform to raise awareness and raise funds, that kind of set me completely on fire. And I decided to up my training quite a bit. And in 2014, ended up running with the group three 100 K runs in a very short time frame, and as a team we also raised over $100K. So
$100,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
And So being able to make a difference, you know, that adds a whole new dimension, I guess, to the training and to the running in general. And so I decided to continue doing just that, train and run for the medals, but also, and now I think more so for charity.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, good for you. And tell me what the experience was like of taking on that longer distance. It's greater than two marathons, almost two and a half marathons. What was the training like? How challenging was it? And what was the running the event itself like?
All right. So that winter, that first winter, it was the first time that I continued running outside all through the cold and continued training full steam. And so basically up the game on the distance. For those long distance, you need to just run and run some more.
So what kind of training runs did you have to do?
Back to back long runs. I think during the week, I have a job and I have a family. I'll do the regular training runs as maybe anyone else who's training for 10K or 5K or half a full marathon. And then for the weekend, the long runs, try to get them longer distances in and back to back.
And obviously it went well, and you were able to not only do it once, you did it three times?
Did it that year three times, and then there were a couple of longer run races, and I took up trail running, which was introduced to that on the way. And in 2016, I ran for a different organization and to raise awareness and a challenge to myself, the Montreal Ottawa distance of about 200 kilometers in 2016.
So you have run from Montreal to Ottawa before?
Yes, from City Hall to City Hall.
Okay.
It was a great experience.
And how long did that take?
That took me about 38 hours, dealing with some injury at the time and a lot of lessons learned on the way.
Okay, tell me about some of those lessons.
You need to make sure to get your nutrition in and your hydration in and maybe plan rests a little bit better, or they were planned, but I didn't stick to it. I was too excited, maybe.
Right.
So this time there's a better plan and awareness that one has to do that.
Yeah, so you have to rest early even if you don't feel like you need the rest, right, to save yourself for later?
Correct. Fuel and rest.
Yeah. Was 38 hours longer than you were hoping it would take on that first attempt?
Yes, it was. Yes, it took longer than I hoped it would be.
But you did it.
I did it.
And how did that feel?
That felt amazing. Had a really great crew and runners at the end running with me, and it was really nice to feel the support and hoping to inspire others to, you know, to look into running or to pick up running.
Yeah. And how much of it did you run alone?
I'll say about half of it on my own. At the time, my son was 16, and he ran a total of, not all in one go, but a total of about 85 kilometers with me. And my partner ran a couple of K with me, and starting, we crossed at Cumberland Ferry. The moment we were on the Ontario side along the river, more and more runner friends joined.
And
how big
a challenge would you say it is to run that kind of distance? There must have been times where you couldn't wait for it to be over, where you were dying to stop.
While you're training for it, you're setting your mind on it. And yes, there were moments where, you know, especially when there was a bit of working through pain involved or tiredness creeped in. But as I kept going, I just set my mind on I'm going to complete this and actually enjoyed it. It's the route I took was along the river, enjoy the views and the sunrise and the sunset and the sunrise again.
Yeah. So, you got to see two sunrises and two sunsets.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. And so tell me what you hope will be different this time. And we should underscore, once again, you are trying to raise money for research into childhood cancer, right?
Absolutely. If I may, I'd like to add a few words to the charity. So I teamed up this year with a local charity, the Phoebe Rose Rocks Foundation. They were founded in honor of and memory of their little girl, Phoebe Rose, who sadly died at age 5. She had an aggressive leukemia. And so more attention needs to be brought and funds raised for or in support of rare childhood cancers, and they're difficult to treat. So that's the mission. And also I want to mention the foundation also supports families who need, where the children or a child is in treatment and they need to travel. So I want to help them raise awareness and, again, funds. So we're organizing a couple of fundraiser events, and I feel very motivated to run that distance again, and this time actually from Saint-Justine Hospital in Montreal with the finish line here in Ottawa at CHEO.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And so you've been training and preparing for this. You still have a few months before you have to do it. Do you feel like it's going to be different this time? Do you have a goal for how quickly you want to run from Montreal to Ottawa?
Yes, that's the personal challenge. As I mentioned earlier, with a couple of lessons learned, I plan on doing better and hope to run that in a little bit shorter time frame. So we'll be starting on Friday, the 29th of June, in the morning, early morning in Montreal, and hope to make it by Saturday evening here in Ottawa. So, yes, lots of continued training. I wish I could say run, eat, sleep, repeat, but as I said, have a job and a family.
You have to make it all work.
So it's, you know, I'm grateful I have the family and the friends and colleagues support for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, have to continuously figure out nutrition and what works, what doesn't work. And, keep training.
Well, good luck to you. This is a remarkable challenge that you've set for yourself, and you're doing it for such an important cause. Gesine, I really congratulate you and thank you for being on the show with us.
Thank you very much, and I hope maybe the listeners are inspired and they can look up the mission or what Phoebe Rose Rocks Foundation is all about. They have
Absolutely.
A website, the Facebook page, or the hashtag Make It Okay, and I can be reached on the Facebook Gesine Runs, and that's also my hashtag.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you again.
Thank you.
That's Gesine Freund, who will be running from Montreal to Ottawa at the end of June. Coming up next week on iRun Radio, as the anniversary of the start of the Marathon of Hope approaches, we're going to talk to Terry Fox's brother. I hope you can join us then. Have a great week.